Hello and welcome to Change the Conversation, a podcast from Dower & Co, featuring frank conversations and fresh perspectives to help you connect, communicate and grow. I'm your host, Elaine Burke, the Editor-in-Chief of Dower & Co, and our guest today is Yemi Adenuga. Yemi is a Nigerian-Irish community leader and social justice advocate who, in 2019, became the first elected Black female public representative in Ireland. A Fine Gael councillor with Meath County Council, Yemi is a famous face far beyond her local constituency, as she and her family have featured among the on-the-couch critics on Gogglebox Ireland. Yemi, I'm delighted to speak to you today. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for having us.
Ellen, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, you know, and to be in this fabulous space. Thank you.
Thanks. And I wanted to start with that unique position that you found yourself in 2019, being a first in any kind of context. You're essentially a trailblazer, and I just wanted to know what that is like, because it is a bit, is it a bit lonely to be the only person like you doing your role?
Well, I'll have to say that at the beginning it felt very lonely, and you know, when you are blazing the trail, it means that there's a lot more work to be done. It means that some people have not been given the chance to play a role in that space. And so blazing the trail signifies that it's doable. And so for me, one of the very first things that I did was make a commitment and a promise to myself that whilst I was the first woman of color to have been elected in Irish politics in 2019, I was definitely not going to be the last, and I would definitely ensure that there will be many more who not just will run in the next local elections, which is coming up a couple of weeks, but will also have an opportunity to present themselves and to win. And so I set out to ensure that I used the benefit of my mentorship program to mentor those who were interested in leadership in political spaces and those who had the capacity, the competence, the capability to develop their communities and to make a change. I'm delighted to say that over the lifespan of the mentorship, I called it a political leadership training program. Over that lifespan for 3 years, 34 people went through that mentorship program, and 16 of them are going to be running in the local elections come June. So I'm very proud of that, that I'm able to make the change. And what does that mean then? That it's not going to be lonely as it was before. You know, when you blaze the trail, when you hear that, oh, you've done something that hasn't been done before. Yes, it gets exciting at the very beginning. But, you know, for people like myself who are constantly seeking better changes, seeking positivity within the community and seeking representation in various spheres, after a while, it's no, that shouldn't be happening again. We shouldn't be hearing at this stage, we shouldn't be hearing first this, first that. We should be having more and more people. It's like saying, oh, the first woman to do this. Every time I hear it, I get excited for the person. But then it breaks my heart that a woman has not been allowed into that space, or women have not been enabled into such spaces. And what that says is we need more allies. We need allyship. Allyship is not cozy. You know, when people talk about allyship, it's not cozy. It just means that you want to step into a space that you're not necessarily comfortable with, or that you necessarily know a lot about, but you're willing to do the research, and you're willing to help, and you're willing to support those who are in need of support within those spaces. So I'm delighted that we have, for want of another word, acquired allies along the way over the last 5 years that I've been a public representative. It's no longer lonely, because along the way, a few other people of color were co-opted, and a good number will be running in this next local election. But for the first year or so, I carried what I called the pace setter burden, where it felt like I wasn't just a representative for Navan, but like I was a representative for not just people of color, but for migrants all across Ireland, a number of people from different counties would reach out to me and say, "Oh, Councillor Yemi, we need you to help us with this." And I'm like, you do realize I'm representing Navin. But let me see what I can do. And I would perhaps just then signpost them to the right spaces or the right people and refer them where there is a need. So yes, it was lonely at the beginning. It doesn't feel like that anymore. I've been blessed with many allies along the way who have held my hands up at times when times have felt low. And that does happen because it's not just the fact that I'm a woman. There's several strikes against me. I'm a woman. And you know what it is like for women in politics? It is so hard. We're criticized for everything. The way we look, the way we dress, our hair, our makeup, the way our weight, every single thing. You know, women are criticized for just an excuse to bring women down and keep them in the kitchen.
It's something that I came across when I was researching this. I just happened to come across the statistic about the number of women councillors just in general in Ireland. And they only make up, I think, a quarter of all of our councillor seats in Ireland. Now, hopefully that does change with these upcoming elections. But as you said, there does seem to be this problem with getting women to engage in politics. And is it because of the amount of critique that you get when you're a woman in public space and holding public space?
That's one reason. That's one reason. The critic is one reason. I mean, as a woman, you step into politics, the trolls come out to play. You know, and as I was saying earlier on to you, I'm not just a woman. I've got also got that strike where I'm a woman of color, you know. And so at the beginning, I felt like I had to prove myself twice as much as any other woman in Ireland. And then a black woman with an accent. I don't sound, you know, I don't have that Irish accent yet, but I am clear when I'm making my point, like I will bring my point through, be very sure of that. And I always say to people, it's not about the accent, it's about the point you're trying to make. It's the context of the conversation. Once you can understand the context, you don't need to bring people down by their accent. Follow the context and you know what they're saying. And then there's that part as well where I'm a black woman with an accent and I have a big mouth and I know how to use it. But I use it positively and I use it well. And so you find then that women, first, because of the trolls on social media, don't want to get into politics. As I said, we're criticized for literally everything. Second of all, the spaces are not yet prepared for women to step into politics. It's that thing about the five C's that were researched, the reasons why women can't step into politics. It's the confidence, it's the childcare, it's the cash. Do they have those who are going to run independent? Do they have the money to fund the election campaign? And who's going to look after the child? You know, I have been in several meetings where I am working hard to help sort out childcare issues for women who are simply trying to get back to work after having a baby. And then there are parents who have children with special needs. And the woman is forced to stay at home. God bless the men who also stay at home. But it's harder for the women. And these are some of the challenges, you know, where women also find themselves in places where they're undermined. Because it's a woman, there's an expectation from the society that, oh, you know what, she's a woman, she may not be able to do it. You know, that's a man's job. Says who? You know, so these are some of the reasons why you don't have enough women stepping out. And by God, we do have competent women who are already doing the work anyway. They're making a difference in our communities anyway. Women are the ones who jump up quickly when there's a problem and they're thinking of solutions. You know, the way I work, when there's a problem, yes, we talk about the problem, but please, the problem is only go 1 minute. Let's spend the next 55 minutes talking about the solution. And who's the stakeholder? Who do we need on the table to help us solve the problem? That's the way women are wired. And so when you have more of them stepping in, then they're stepping in to solve problems rather than focus on problems. And that's what we need in our politics. Fresh perspective. People who have ideas as to addressing the challenges. Look, truth be told, politics is about people. It's about community. Every single thing that's done in politics is about the people. And so a lot of women are already embedded with solution-driven focus within communities. Why not women? If not women, you know? So we do need more women. And to any woman who is listening out there today, the truth of the matter is the trolls will never go away, no matter what job you're in, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a baker. People who are hurt will want to hurt other people. And so they would want to project their hurt on others. Don't let them park their hurt in your garden. It's your space. Protect it like you would protect your children. Protect your space. And you don't need to engage. Look, every time I post something on social media, whether it's Twitter, whether it's TikTok, which I was surprised has become really toxic in recent times, the trolls really have a festival on my page. And I think I'm really doing their head in because I never really engage. And then they find other ways to get even more insulting. And you can tell that they're really angry. They're pining for, you know, come on, let's have this conversation. Let's get at you. It's never going to happen. So there you go. They will always be there. But you will always be here as well. As a woman who wants a positive change in her community, the best way to put any troll in their place is for you to succeed. So step out, step in, and let's be that change we want to see together.
I mean, because you're public facing, though sometimes your trolls are quite face to face as well. Mm-hmm. So I read about you held a public meeting when you were hosting discussions around the recent referendum. And I mean, someone got up and knew a bit about your background in the middle of this public meeting and said, oh, you've got a family with like 27 siblings. Are they all going to come over here? Like just trying to be insulting to your background, preying on these narratives that anti-immigration people tend to trot out all of the time, that, you know, one person will come over and bring their whole family over. Oh yeah, well, Irish people did that. Let's just not forget that happened. Like, how do you, like, it's very face-to-face for you as well as one that's on the computer that you can switch off and turn away from. How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, just to put it out there, immigration is something that is never going to go away anywhere in the world. It's a global issue. Every single day, people make decisions to try a new life in a different country, or if there's a challenge in their country, they look to go and start another life in another country. From time immemorial, it's been happening. Countries that were founded and were established, it was as a result of immigration. When people trace their steps back, they know, well, actually, this country that is ours now wasn't really founded from here. People came from somewhere and started off that country. That's the history. And that it will continue till we're, even when we're old and gray and gone, it will continue. So it is a question of learning to live together. So that, by the way. Now, when I am confronted, and I do get that quite a good beat as well, when I'm confronted by people who feel that they have the courage, for want of another word, to say things to my face. First of all, I analyze them. So what's their problem with the issue they're raising? So my background is one that has set me on this path of becoming the person I am today. My background was like lemon. You know, when you throw lemons at people, a person like me, you throw lemons at me, I make lemonades. My background was one where I was not enabled as a young girl. I was told I will be a nobody. And I was able to take that narrative then and turn it around. Thank goodness with the support of people who saw what I didn't see about myself when I was a young girl. And I decided that everything I learn as a girl growing up, I will make sure that I pass it on to people, women and young people, to make them better. And for somebody to take that then and make it look negative, well, the problem is on them, not on me. And so for me, just going back to that meeting, that public meeting that I had, it was important, first of all, not to be rude. Why? Because it's my value. You know, I'm a value-led woman. I'm always very conscious of, you know, what I say to people and how I say to people, because I know a lot of people are carrying hurt and I don't want to be the one to add to their pain. I can hold my own. And so I can easily put people in their places. Does it mean I don't have feelings? Of course, that's not what it means. But I can control my feelings, right? But at the same time, I can conduct myself in a way that is respectful, regardless. I have five core values, actually six. And I call them my credal, right? They guide everything I do. C is for consistency. Everything I do them consistently, whether it's my work, whether it is my volunteering in the community, whether it's helping people, whether it's mentorship, whether it is building others, whatever it is. Ask yourself, how are professionals made? How are gurus made? It's because these people have done the same thing, what they know how to do, and they found their strength. They've done it over and over and over again till they know how to do it like the back of their hands. And so it is important that people are consistent, whether it's in doing work in your community, be consistent. You become the go-to person. That's how people get recognized and get respected. And people can say, well, if you're looking for this service, Elaine is the person to go to. That's the way it works, being consistent. R is for respect. First, respect for myself. If I don't respect myself, I don't expect others to respect me. And so I have a lot of respect for myself. And why do I have respect for myself? Because I will consistently, like I said before, conduct myself in a way that gives respect and earns respect. And the second part then is respect for others. And this is the powerful part of this value. And then I'll bring that to that situation where that woman got up and became utterly disrespectful, not just to me, but to a lot of people who were at that public meeting because it was well attended. And because I have a value of respect, my decision instantly was, yes, I'm going to get her out of the room, but in a respectful manner. And I would never allow people to make me become who I am not because I have a value that says respect. Now, as a human being, Elaine, my reaction as human would probably have been to just take whoever it is that is disrespectful at any point in time, wrap them up in a ball and throw them against the wall. But I'll never do that because my value does not allow me. And that's why it's important that we have values. I is for integrity. You know, I always say my name, Yemi Adenuga, is what I sell. It's something I've built over the years. You know, it's as for me, the Adenugas is a Navan name now. We are the Adenugas of Navan. And so it's really important that integrity consistently is a part of whatever I do. D is for do unto others as you'll have them do unto you. What I don't want people to do to me, I will not do to them. A is for authenticity. Is me being genuine and being true to everything that I am and that I do. And I will not attempt to be anybody else because it's like playing catch up. You're going to spend the whole of your life playing catch up. There's only one Yemi Adenuga, you know? And if I'm trying to replicate someone else, I would never, ever, you know, get there because they're moving and I'll just keep trying to play catch up. So for me, authenticity is key, where you know who you are, you find yourself, you define yourself, you build your self-esteem, you take your lemon and you make nice lemonade. If you want it to be a bit sweet, you put honey in it, you know, you spice it up and ginger it up and you put it out there and you let people see the real you and the true you, and you share something that is impactful, positively impactful to the world. That's part of the legacy that we leave behind. It's not the houses we have. It's not the cars we buy. A car can get into an accident just like that. You can bring a car out of a showroom and just get in an accident. You can build a house, it'll catch fire. But it's the difference you make in the lives of people that keep your name long after you're gone. And people will keep talking about it. And it's handed down from generation to generation. And L is for love. Love for myself. I'll love myself first. Find a good thing in me. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But everyone has something beautiful about them that they need the world to see. When I was a young girl growing up, I was bullied quite a lot. I was told I was short. I was told I was fat. I was told I was ugly. I mean, someone calling this ugly, you know? And it took a while for me to really find myself. And then when I saw what my strength was, I built on that. And that helped me to build my confidence. And that's what people need. There's something in each person that helps them, you know, make their community, make the society better. The world hasn't met you yet, and they won't meet you until you show them who you are. And it has to be that positive part of you that really wants to make a positive difference. And love for others, love for those who genuinely show love to me, you know, and love for God. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of it. I believe strongly that God is an integral part of who I've become today. God is the one that has kept me a good girl, you know, doing good and positive things within the community. So why would I not be happy to share that? And people have different beliefs and, you know, people are welcome to share their beliefs. And if people have the courage to share the negative things they do on social media, why can't we talk about the positive things? So I think it's really, really important that people realize that immigration will consistently be a part of the globe where they say we now live in a global village. People will come and go. But what we need to do then is to find a way to live together in harmony. We need to start to learn how to understand each other. I think in Ireland, we need to push the pause button. Let's take a stop for a moment and ask ourselves, where did we get it wrong? What have we not done right? Because Elaine, I've been in this country for 24 years. 24 years ago, when I came into Ireland, there was the talk about the new Irish community. Do you want to get to know people who are indigens? And that was brilliant. And 24 years later, rather than our community being very beautiful and engaging and integrated, and integration doesn't mean assimilation, you know, but it just means you bring the best of you, I bring the best of me, we put it all on the table and we have a better community and we better have a better society. But if 24 years, and I'm using myself as just one example, if 24 years down the line, things look worse than they were 24 years ago, then we suddenly have not done some things right. So it's time to push the pause button and say, okay, let's stop blaming. Let's just ask ourselves, what have we not done right? We've done so many things, but what have we not done right? And if it means then being bold enough to have those difficult conversations, and that's what I'm doing now, enabling difficult conversations, not shying away from them, but talking about those things that really are making us angry. Why are we upset about it? Migrants have contributed so much to this country. Right? And we need to start to see it. We need to start to celebrate that. Does that mean that you don't have migrants who are doing negative things? Of course you have. Every country, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's life. But you have a lot of migrants who are bringing positivity into the Irish society, who are bringing the dynamics of a global country into the society and making Ireland better. And so we have to recognize that and celebrate that and give ourselves the chance then to get to know each other. And I'm asking people, become a culture pal. Don't sit on the fence and be one of those who complain. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Who's your neighbor? How much do you know them? Have you gone to knock on your neighbor's door and say, hi there, how are you? My name is Yemi. I am a Navan woman. I'm originally from Nigeria. You know, in Nigeria, we make this nice, delicious meal called jollof rice. We're having a barbecue right tomorrow. Would you like to join us? If you're busy, we could bring something over for you. Introduce yourself. Get to know people. Start a chat. When they are out and they're cutting, they're mowing the lawn or cutting something, just join in. Say hello. You know, bring them water. Get to know people. It's as simple as that. And you'll be shocked. The more you allow yourself to know people, the more you realize that you've been wrong all the while. Your impression have been completely wrong. And your assumptions have been completely off the mark. Assumptions are dangerous. We assume so much because we've been prejudiced to think of people a certain way. These are biases that have been handed down from generation to generation. But get to know the individual. It does not matter where they come from. Get to know them. When people tell me, oh, you know, Nigerians are a certain way, and it's a negative comment, I say, have you met me? Have you met me? Allow yourself to get to know me. Then you know you haven't met a Nigerian before. And that's the way it should be. Let's get to know each other better by having difficult conversations.
And something that you did to basically introduce yourself and your family to the whole country of Ireland was the appearances on Gogglebox Ireland.
Oh, Jesus.
Which was great to see, because it did present this, like, you know, diversity of Irish families. It was great to see a family like yours being showcased like that. I think that was really important as well. And I don't know if you came across this, but I saw Channel 4 has announced its future election coverage for an election that hasn't even been announced yet. And they're going to include some of their Gogglebox stars in their election coverage, because I think what Gogglebox has shown is also that it doesn't have to be celebrities and TV broadcasts and stuff like that, which I know you actually have a background in TV broadcasting, but normal people having that showcase on television is actually quite important, and it showcases normal voices, but also the diversity of voices that exist across the country. Like, did you get really good feedback from Gogglebox Ireland and that kind of representation that you guys delivered for it?
Oh, we got really, really good feedback. And I felt really proud to be a Navan woman. At the beginning, I think people were a bit shocked. A few people were like, hang on a minute. How is that the Navan family? Like, don't we have white Irish people? Why is there a black family representing Navan? But I think as time went on, they began to feel really proud that we were representing Navan, because first of all, it showed the diversity of Meath and of course Ireland. And then it showed how Meath is very proactive in showcasing its diversity. For us, it was a brilliant experience. It was an opportunity for me as a person to achieve one of my goals, which was to build a legacy for my children in Navan. When you ask people where you're from, I mean, if I asked you, Elaine, where you're from, where are you from?
Dublin.
So where in Dublin?
I'm a Northsider, so
Northsider. Yeah. Very good. So you know your roots. You keep digging down. When you ask people where you're from, they tell you, like you said, Dublin, where, Northside. You know, you go further down, you tell the street, you know. You can tell your friends, the people you grew up with and all of that bit. That's because you have built a root for yourself. And it's the same thing. If Navan is home, if Ireland is home, then my children need to know that this is their root. This is where they were born. I have four kids, two boys and two girls. And my boys are 15 and 16. My girls are 31 and 23. And I have three grandkids and they're all growing. And I want to be able to courageously say to them, this is where you were all raised. This is your town. And so Gogglebox gave us that opportunity. I've always wanted to be able to say that the Adenugas are from Navan, just as you'll have certain names that are originally Navan names. And so today, you know, it just gave us that platform. And today we are the Adenugas of Navan. So anytime you hear that name, you know, yeah, that's a Navan name. But it really did, like you said, it showcased Ireland's diversity. It showcased the fact that people who come from different backgrounds, even if they cannot speak clear English, it doesn't mean they are dumb. It just means they can't speak a language clearly. I mean, if you asked someone who speaks English proficiently, ask them to speak another language if they don't have a second language, it's going to be a challenge. It's exactly the same thing. So when people have the courage, who are not English speakers as first language, when they have the courage to learn to speak English, we should applaud them. We should, you know, commend them. Because then sometimes when people say to me and they're trying to get a bit cheeky and I say a word and they're like, what was that? And then I say it again and they go, what was that? And like, oh, and then they try to correct me with the word. And I say to them, say a word in Nigerian. Just say one word in Nigerian.
Well, even I would point out that I realize now from you pronouncing it for me that I'm emphasizing syllables in your name wrong. And it's just the way I would pronounce that name, whatever conventions that I'm following there. And you didn't correct me on that. So
absolutely. It's the context that matters. Exactly. And the intention matters. And I, like I said before, context is important. If you're talking about hospital and somebody's saying NOS, and oh, you know, the nurse came and gave me an injection or, you know, took my blood pressure and blah, blah, blah. And you're trying to correct them and you say, what was that? And they say, oh, you know, the nurse. And you're like, oh, sorry, what was that again? Or, you know, that person that takes blood pressure. And oh, sorry, nurse. That's an insult, yeah. Really. You know the context. You're talking about a medical environment. So surely you know what they're talking about. But if you're trying to ridicule them, and it's exactly that thing as well when people ask you, oh, how long have you been in Ireland? And then you say, oh, you know, 15 years. Oh, no wonder your English is so good. People need to do their research because there are countries that actually speak English and they speak English well. perhaps even better than we do in Ireland. And so we have to do our research and not just automatically assume that people are a certain way without understanding, you know, they're giving them a chance even to get to know them. And I think that's really important. And I think that's one of the things that Gogglebox brought across. There was no one who was on the show and who is on the show today who was not able to communicate well. Regardless of their background, people know what they're saying. People get what they're saying. People understand what they're saying. So, and why? Because people love them and people love the show. And that's the thing. When you like something, you don't put it down. That's just the truth of the matter. When you love someone, you make excuses for them, don't you? So that's all I'm saying. Let's get to know each other better so that we can start to learn to like each other better. Because this is Ireland now. This is our island now, and people want to contribute. People want a chance to make it better. But when we fight each other, we're creating a very tense, a very difficult environment. Our children are watching. Our children are watching, and they're learning. And whatever it is, whatever foundations we lay, we're determining what the future will be. And if they get too tired of watching us bicker and, you know, go at each other, they'll up and leave. And so let's stop pointing fingers. Let's take a cue from the things we see that we like on television, like Gogglebox, and let's make Ireland better and have our own nice little Gogglebox in our different communities, you know?
And something that Gogglebox also introduced us to is your husband. And I found it really interesting in researching you that you both actually have been mentors to people, helping them to build loving, long-lasting relationships. Tell me a bit about that. That's so fascinating.
Well, when we met some almost 40 years ago, we realized that we grew up in an environment where there are cultural barriers that stop you as an individual from maybe understanding many things about relationships. But thankfully, we are very strong characters, both of us as individuals, and we were able to take the good from culture and tradition and then merge it with our personal feelings and paint a picture of what we wanted our relationship to look like. It was a struggle because, of course, people will come at you and say, no, but you're not supposed to do things that way. But people were then beginning to admire what we had. And asking, oh, how are you guys doing that? And then we would laugh and like, but you said we shouldn't do it that way, you know? And we realized then that what we learned along the way through our mistakes in the relationship, in our relationship, through our failures, because we did fail a few times, through our challenges, we had a lot of challenges building, you know, that relationship. And we felt that it was important that we started to pass that down onto young people to enable them to look for certain things before they step in. And then when they step in, to also have some knowledge of what they've just stepped into. For example, people are looking for the exterior. When you ask them, what are you looking for in a marriage? Women want tall, nice looking guy, and which is okay. I wanted a very tall, nice looking guy, but I got, I wouldn't call him short, but look, he was the best person for me. And that's the reality. Sometimes you want something and you get something else, and it's what you, the best of, you make the best of what you have and you enjoy what's right in front of you. And I tell you, honestly, he was God's gift to me because I couldn't have asked for a better man. He's kind. Deji is kind. I mean, his heart is always in the right place. Does he mean he does things 100% correct all the time? Absolutely not. He's human. He's got blood flowing through his veins. But every time I remember that this is a good man who sometimes does some naughty things, we come back to the drawing board and then we reanalyze and then we re-strategize and we focus on the goal. What's the goal? You know, we want to grow old together. You know, and they are certain non-negotiables. And these are some of the things that we share with young people. When you're looking for somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with, it is the rest of your life. And you can't undermine that part that Your life is part of that equation. Mm. And so you want to be with someone, first of all, who values you, someone who appreciates you, someone who wakes up wanting to also help make you better. One of the things that Deji and I agreed, I call him Val. So sometimes it sounds strange when I call him Deji. Val is my pet name for him. But one of the things that we agreed was that we were going to constantly focus on helping to make each other better. So I always ask myself when I wake up, what can I do to make this man smile today? And he does the same for me. And so you find that we're each other's best cheerleaders. You know, when we quarrel, I quarrel with my husband and sometimes I don't want to talk to him, but I miss my friend because we're such good friends. We've built such a friendship over the years. This year will be, we got married in 1992. So this year will be 32 years married. December 19 will be 32 years married. And when I'm upset with him, I don't want to talk to my husband. Like, you're the husband. But then I miss my friend. And for that reason, then I want us to get that quarrel out of the way so we can go back to chatting and, you know, doing everything that we do. So we try to teach young people that first, it's important to find your friend, somebody who values you, who sees you, who prioritizes making your success part of their goal. Very important. And somebody who sees what you don't see about yourself and is willing to share that with you, because sometimes we don't see everything about ourselves. There's so many things that Deji saw in me that I didn't see in myself, and many things that I saw in him that he didn't see in himself. And I encouraged him and I said, I see you have the skill. I see you have the talent. Why don't you try and just explore it? And he did. And, you know, he's in the acting industry and he became an A-list actor in Nigeria and he's still highly respected. He encouraged me to go into broadcasting. I never thought I would. He said, oh, do you know what? My friends always say, you sound like Voice of America. You should try it, you know. And I did. And, you know, for me, it became a career. So it's that person that is constantly willing to see the best in you. And then when you both decide that you want to take the bold step to get married, it's making the commitment to yourself to help to promote yourselves always. What do I mean by that? You work hard at work, don't you? You're looking for your boss to like you. You're looking for your boss to give you a promotion. You're looking to be considered for that increase in pay, right? So you work really hard for it. Marriage also needs you to work to promote each other. You want to impress each other. You want to always stay fresh and nice in each other's eyes. It's the same thing. Why would you work hard for other people outside? And then your sanctuary, your home, you don't want to work hard to keep it looking nice and fresh and good all the time and impressive for both of you. So it takes two. Same way you put in the work at work or with others to impress them, you do the same for yourselves, because then you're building a future. The children, for those who have children, the children will grow old. Like, my two girls are grown now. My boys are, before you know it, they'll be in university and they'll be gone. It'll be the two of us. So if we didn't have a friendship, what would we be doing? Now we have a chat all the time. We're like, oh no, we can't wait for them to be gone. And look, we're going to travel the world. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. That's because we've built such a friendship that we're never bored with each other. Every night before we go to bed, and this is God's honest truth, every night we have such a good laugh. Every night, and we go to bed with a big smile on our faces. Even times when we're upset with each other, we kind of say, he has this joke where he says, okay, do you know what? I know you're angry at me right now, but we're going to pack that anger because we're going to go to bed soon. And I can't sleep with you angry at me. So, and then we pack it and then we become friends for a moment. And like, I'm still not talking to you. So
yeah, you can resume the argument in the morning.
Exactly. And that's what he says. We'll resume in the morning, you know. And that's friendship.
Yeah.
So it's the other thing I want to leave with young people and with anyone who is in a relationship. Make sure you're in a relationship with a friend. Love is great, but it's not enough. You've got to build a friendship that enables respect. The person you're with, if people outside respect you, if your workplace respects you, but the person you want to spend your life with does not respect you, there's a big problem. So you have to be with someone who truly respects you and values what you carry, not just what you bring, but what you carry. They value it. And they also turn it around and say, do you know what? I'm going to multiply that talent of yours by ensuring that I bring my skill to make you a better person. And then you do the same for them. Look, the rest.
Well, we could say behind every great woman, there's probably
absolutely
a great man
or a great partner. Well, you know, they walk sort side by side. Yeah.
But thank you so much for talking to us today, Yemi. You can find out more about Yemi and connect with her on yemiadenuga.com. And as always, check out daraandco.com for more resources on building better relationships with yourself and others. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine. A pleasure being here today. Loved every minute.